Okay, thank you. Thank you to the organizer for the invitation. What I'm going to talk about today is the result of collaborations which started with Thomas, who's here, and then we introduced some stochastic models with Lorenzo, who's here and who will give the talk right after this one, and Mauro Mariani, who's in Marseille. Okay, so the original motivation for the models that I'm going to introduce have been, are the models, the deterministic models that Thomas has shown yesterday, and he has shown very nice image of those models, and this is a very simple version of the dynamics. So the idea is this: so you have particles which are located, which are confined in some small cells, and they are moving freely, and then from time to time they interact by making collisions among themselves. Okay, so and the idea is, the problem here is to, so you you want to heat up this left hand side of the system at some temperature, and then you want to do the same on the opposite side. And so you will force the particles to have some fixed kinetic energy, average kinetic energy, on both sides, and then you want to understand how the energy is transferred along the system. Okay, so the idea is that the energy is simply transferred from one particle to the other one by collision. And of course you have seen different models until now. And so here is another model, which is based on a local equilibrium assumption on the system. So what I want to say is that I want to assume that local equilibrium is settled in the system, and I want to look at the, I want to look at the microscopic level. I want to look at the everyday life of some small particle in the system under this local equilibrium assumption. So how does it look like? If you assume that local equilibrium has been settled in the system, the particles, the average energy of the particles have some given value, which gives the local energy of the system, the local temperature of the system. And what I want to do, I want to replace the original system by this kind of system where the particles move freely in the in its little cell, and then from time to time it interacts with some heat bath at some fixed temperature. Okay, so what I want to say, I'm going to make this statement more precise in a moment, but what I want to say is that what the particles see from the rest of the system on the right hand side is just a heat bath, and what it sees from the system located on the left hand side is also a heat bath at different temperature. Okay, so this is the basic idea, and I want to understand how the it's a first approximation. And I want to understand how the current is transferred from this heat bath, for instance, to this heat bath. Okay, and there is a steady state, and I want to understand how the energy is transferred from this heat bath to this heat bath. That's the first thing. Let's compute the average. Okay, I can compute the average current which is transferred between the two. Then I can also compute the fluctuation. What I will show is that you can even study the fluctuation of the transfer of current in the system. Okay. So the model will be like this. So I reduce the systems. It looks like a bit like what Champier-Exton has told you in the previous talk. So there are particles and scatterers. Okay, and you have particles we have heat bath, and here it's T0, which have fixed temperature T0, Tn, and then in the middle you have some Tn. I'm going to write it like this, Tn, T of n plus 1, and then you have, these are heat baths, and then you have a little particle which moves between the heat bath, and each time it meets the heat bath, it gets reflected and gets a new random velocity. And the new velocity, I mean the distribution of the new velocity, is given, I mean, is determined by the fact that it makes a collision with this heat bath. So I will show you that in a moment, but for the moment, you don't need to know anything more than that. Okay, so it's a stochastic model in that sense. So this is the microscopic, it's the system seen really on a microscopic scale, both on space and time. So on space, you see the size of the system is a priori of, the size of a cell is 1, and on this time scale, on the microscopic time scale, I don't want the temperature to move. The temperature of the heat bath will move, but on the macroscopic time scale. Okay, so now I want to see this system on the macroscopic time scale, space time scale, and so I put my system on the interval 0, 1. Okay, and I want to introduce some macroscopic current and macroscopic evolution for the temperature. So I want to define the rate of transfer of energy per unit time, and I introduce this Jn here. And so what is it? It's the following. So you look at some x here. And you say, okay, now I define this Jnx as being the current of that is carried by the particle in this interval. And I defined, the J, what I didn't said enough is that to each particle I associated some current, which I denote by Jn. Something like this. So at the microscopic level, I associate to each particle a current, a total energy that is transferred between temperature, between the heat bath n and n plus 1 over time tau, which is the microscopic time scale. And I want to change this and define a new current at the macroscopic time scale. And so I look at, I want to define the rate of transfer of energy per unit time, and I introduce this quantity. So I look at an interval, macroscopic time interval delta t, and so this is the time integrated current, but now over a span of time, which is n squared times delta t. Okay, so this is very long time interval at the microscopic scale. And I divide this by n because I want the size of the cell to go to zero in the continuum limit. Okay, so now I get this expression and I wrote it in this form so that you see that this part here is just average current over a long time interval. Okay, and this current is computed. So now if I want to, you see, I've put the time dependence in this quantity. So I want to say that this is computed with the some fixed temperature for the heat bath at the boundary of the interval. And now I define the evolution of the temperature. So this is you see the problem is that with this model is of course that when the particles meets this heat bath, of course, it in reality should change the temperature of the heat bath, okay, because it will give its energy, and then the temperature of the heat bath should be modified. But I don't modify it at the microscopic time scale, but I modify it at the macroscopic time scale. So I do the following. I say, now I look at my system. I put time. I don't know. I put time. I look until time capital S. And then I divide my time interval with small delta t, as before. And I want to say now this the evolution of the temperature of a given temperature here is given by the average effect over those long time scale over those long microscopic time scale. Okay, so I look at the average energy that has been exchanged during this long time interval, and I say, okay, now I count the what exchange on both sides. And I change the temperature accordingly. So you see, it's a kind of mean field approximation of the dynamics in the sense that the temperature are modified, but only through the mean current that has been exchanged between the baths. Okay. So this is the general picture, and I hope it is clear. And now, actually, we haven't worked very much on this model where the temperature are moving. We have concentrated only on the static model, if you like. But it's in principle, there are results like this one, which are kind of straightforward to obtain from what we had on the static model, and there are other results like the next one, which are more difficult to get from the static model. But okay, so the first result that, in principle, you can get from what I'm going to explain about the static model is the following. So you can show that the evolution of the temperature is given in the continuum limit by this equation, and that the current is given by the usual Fourier law. Okay. Okay. And okay. So this is the first part of the just a kind of law of large number for this system. I mean, it will be obtained. It can be obtained as a law of large number coming from the static model. Okay, and you can go, in principle, you can go even further, but for that we don't have a proof yet, but we have a heuristic argument that I will show you at the end, if I have enough time. Okay, so the result is like that. Now if you look at finite n, the current Gn and the temperature Tn, the temperature function Tn, are still random variables, okay? And you can look at the fluctuation of those variables as a function of n. And the result that I'm going to tell you about the static model, again, implies some behavior for the large deviation in n of those functions. And the behavior is like that. So you look at the probability that Tn and Jn are different from the solution to this equation. So in particular, you look at the probability that Jn is different from the second equation, and there is an argument to show that the property of the large deviation of the current in time of the static model implies this property for the large deviation in n of the dynamical model. Okay, and I will try to give you the proof at the end of the. Okay. This is the function, and it's easier to understand if you have the plot of the function for some special value. So what is striking, of course, is this flat part and this straight line part. Okay, and this is on the left hand side, and the right hand side is the simply quadratic. Okay. Okay, so now this is a bit embarrassing because I have to tell you what we have studied, and this is a very, very simple dynamics compared to what we have seen until now. So it's just one particle moving between two heat baths. And so, as I said, the dynamics, now this has been said in previous talks, so I don't need to insist very much on that, but so the rule of update of updating the velocity of the particle is like that. So the particle is moving freely, and then when it meets this heat bath, the velocity is reversed, and it gets a new velocity with this distribution. And this ensures that this mimics the effect of a heat bath, because you can check that when the temperature are equal, then the invariant measure is simply given by the usual equilibrium measure. Okay, and so to understand the dynamics, you have to know one thing, is the fact that you have waiting times between collision. So you can code the complete dynamics, the entire dynamics, with the waiting time. So if the particles come from the right-hand side, it will have a waiting time until the next collision, which is given by this law, because this is the inverse of the velocity that it, I mean, the waiting time is just given by 1 over the velocity of the that it has got, that it has gotten from the heat bath, and the same on the other side. Okay, so and this is the total time that has elapsed until the K plus 1 collision. And then associated to that, and this is the main thing actually, there is a renewal process which counts the number of collisions up to time t. Okay. And so this is the law of, so this is important. So this is the definition of the current. So it's very simple. It's it's just the kinetic energy that is carried from left to right and right to left. And just the sign of the velocity, which corresponds to the fact that you have particles moving in both directions. And this is the VK, if you like, is the kth velocity that the particle has gotten after it has started. And you can show this in this law of large number. And this is simply based on the renewal theorem for this entity. Of course, it's a bit more complicated than that, but you can think that it's something like that. It's just the renewal theorem for the NT, for the renewal process. Okay, because there are two distributions in the game, so you have to be a bit careful. And here you have also, I mean, the randomness enters in two ways. In this term you have NT, but the VK also are random, so it's a bit different. But I mean, basically it's just this renewal theorem. Okay, and the constant that appears here is just the frequency of visit of the particle to the extremity of the interval. Okay, and now, as I said, you can you can go further and start to look at the fluctuation of the current, I mean, around the average value that I've shown there. And so you can look at those quantity. And you can get this result. So you can show that the time integrated current divided by t satisfies a large deviation principle, and that it has a rate function that satisfies this scaling property. Okay, so did I define everything? So this is. I look at the system when there is a fixed temperature difference given by tau and average temperature given by t, and this has this particular, I mean, this has this scaling property. Okay. So now, as I said, this implies something for the large deviation in n of the dynamical system. I mean, of the dynamical version of the model. And but first, let me say, so again, this is the plot of G. So you see there is this flat part and this straight line part, and in between, I mean, on the side is just quadratic. And of course, if you this is something trivial. I mean, if you believe in Galois-Watteau and symmetry, if you have this this flat part and this quadratic part, of course, you know that the other side is going to be of this shape. Okay. And it is true. Okay, and so the proof. I'm not going to say a lot about this, and Lorenzo will tell you more about the large deviation aspect of the dynamic. But the problem is that it's because you have this flat part. I mean, the first thing that we did was compute the momentum, the generating function of the momenta. And we could see that they were corners, and that the derivatives had jumped. And because of that, it's difficult. I mean, you can use Gartner-Hellis theorem, but it's not enough to show that there is a large deviation principle. So we had to work to get the existence of the large deviation principle. And of course, but the flat part is also what is interesting from a physical point of view, because in general it means that there are phase transitions in the system. So here we don't really understand what it means at the physical level, but at least it looks like it's interesting. And so the point, the really important point, is to understand that this peculiar behavior of the large deviation functional comes from the fact that you have heavy tails in the collision times. And so, very quickly, where does it come from? Well, you can look at the probability of getting those events when alpha is smaller than the average. So what I want to say, I don't know if I can put it here. So we have, so if I plot the large deviation function of not j over t but nt over t, then it would look like this. You have the average value of nt, I mean, you have the limit of nt over t, which is here, and then it will look like this. So it's flat between 0 and, so you have 0 here, and it's flat, I mean, 0 between 0 and the average value, and it's different from 0 outside. And the behavior of the large deviation of the current comes from that behavior for the nt over t. And you can see quite quickly there is something funny that will happen, because the thing is that it's not this kind of event when alpha is smaller than the average value is not exponentially small. And you can show that quite easily that the large deviation function must be zero in zero. And this is because you have those heavy tail for the waiting time distribution, and this implies that with quite high probability you will see something, I mean, that the nt over t will be smaller than the average. Okay, so this is the argument, but I don't have time to tell you, and Lorenzo will talk about that. So now I come back to the original problem. So you remember what was Jn. So Jn x of t was this, so you had 1 over n delta t, and you had it was n, the integer part of nx, and it was between 0 and square delta t, okay? So this was this function. And so now I want to show this heuristic argument to say that the large deviation, I mean, the result that we have for the scaling, I mean, the scaling properties of the large deviation function of the current imply something on the large deviation in n of the function jn and pn. Okay? So now I just look, you know, I have divided my, I come back, if you like, to this. I have small cell in space, and time. So I have something like this. And here I have something like this. And I look just at some given cell. And I look at the probability that in that cell, I fix some point x, and I look at the probability that the gn xt is equal to some value decided in advance. Okay, so I can compute this, and it's quite easy actually to see. So you divide by this and you multiply. Okay. So now you divide this, you take the definition, you divide by n, okay, so you get this expression. And now look at this, it's easy actually to see. So what you can do with the theorem that I've shown you, so you see this is just this process, I mean the current here is just the current that you get with the stochastic process that I've defined. And of course, basically when this n square time delta t goes to infinity, this basically gives you the large deviation rate function, right? Evaluated at some gx over n. Okay, and so the theorem tells you the following. It tells you that now if I separate, because here I want to take the limit n going to infinity, but I cannot do that. I mean, the theorem is tells you something a bit different. It tells you that if you take first the limit k going to infinity and then the limit epsilon square going to zero, then you can compute this. I mean, you obtain this. But of course, now you have to assume that this is true when you take both limits at the same time, and you have to also take. I have done this for some small. For x, which is in a small cell, but then at the end I have to put everything together, and you see, I have to simply write in space. So I take now not just one x, but I take n x somewhere in the intervals, in the intervals. Then I write the Riemann sum for this function in x, and also I have the time interval. So in the end, if I put everything together, so you see, I just take a sum over, let's say, k xk, and I take the sum over all the time of all time interval. And if I do this, I can write this as an integral with this n factor in front of it. And okay, this tells you something about the large deviation in n now of the system. Okay, and I'm almost finished, but I want to emphasize that this argument is based on the fact that you have the right behavior for the large deviation in time of the time integrated current. So just to conclude, so you see this argument in the end is based only on the fact that you have local equilibrium distribution that the particles have their velocity updated independently. And so we hope that now the problem is to see if those considerations apply to the deterministic model that I've shown you at the beginning and to the deterministic model that you have seen until now in this workshop. Okay, thank you.